Good morning. Today's reading is Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. So Colossians chapter 1, 1 to 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace from God, our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who was a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit.
I'll pray. Let's pray. Father God, please, as we read through and think about this part of Colossians, please may we hear your words of grace and truth. Amen. Now, how's your lawn looking at the moment? If you've got a lawn, you know what I'm talking about. It's grass is growing like crazy. I reckon at the moment we need to kind of think about mowing our lawn like we think about brushing our teeth. You kind of need to do it two or three times a day if you want to keep it looking good. Lawn always grows fast this time of year, but this year's been something else. With all the rain, grass is just growing like crazy. You can't walk out the door on a Saturday morning without hearing the buzz of a mower from about five different directions. If you're anything like me, you've just completely given up keeping the grass out of your garden. I lie in bed and I'm not scrolling through Instagram. I'm looking up robot lawnmowers, trying to make my life easier. Look, if you think the growth of the grass in your lawn this year has been pretty phenomenal, mine certainly has, just wait till you hear about the growth of the gospel right now. Because the gospel is growing like nothing else. And that's what this first part of Colossians is all about, the growth of the gospel. When it comes to gospel growth, though, there's no such thing as too much. There's no such thing as too much of a good thing. We love seeing more and more and more gospel growth. And that excitement for gospel growth, that excitement for more and more and more gospel growth, is exactly what the Apostle Paul wants to communicate here. Paul wants us to be thankful for gospel growth when we see it. He wants us to be excited when it happens, and he wants us to live in anticipation of more and more of it. Let's have a look at Colossians. We can see Paul's thankfulness for gospel growth right at the start of this letter. So let's start, chapter 1, verse 1. Let me read it for you again. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Before we go any further, here's Paul. He's writing a letter. He's got Timothy with him. They're writing to the saints in Colossae. That word saints, your Bible might say God's holy people there, just means Christians. Now, we're going to spend the next few weeks, and then we're going to come back to this later in the year, reading through this letter of Colossians, a letter written to a church of followers of Jesus. A church just like us, except they're in Colossae, we're here in Bathurst. Now, Paul's got a lot of reasons for writing this letter. We'll discover more of them as we go, particularly when we get to chapter 2. But the first reason is that he wants the Colossians to know how thankful he is for gospel growth. It's the very first thing he says. Have a look at verse 3. He says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven." Notice those first words there. We always thank God. Paul's overflowing with thankfulness, and he's thanking God particularly because God is doing something. And that's important. All the gospel growth Paul's going to go on and talk about, it's all God doing it. And that's why Paul is particularly thanking God. There are things happening here in this church in Colossae that only God can do. Incredible things, amazing things. And so Paul first thanks God. I have a friend who once had a debt paid off for them. It was not a small debt for them. It was a few thousand dollars. But here's the thing. It was paid off anonymously. And they had no idea who to thank for it. But Paul knows exactly who to thank for the gospel growth that he's seeing, that he's hearing about in this church in Colossae. It's God. God is doing this. God is bringing the gospel to more and more people every day so as to save and rescue people by his son's death and resurrection. This is why God sent his son into the world in the first place. This is what he is still doing, growing the gospel. God is at work here. God is doing this. And so Paul thanks God. And we start to get a sense of Paul's excitement about what God's doing, his excitement about gospel growth, as he then goes on to list some of the life-changing things God's doing in Colossae. Take a look at verse 3 again. Look at the exciting things that Paul is thankful for. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you've heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it's bearing fruit and growing. You see why Paul's excited? The gospel's having an enormous impact in Colossae. These people, they've heard the truth. They've heard the gospel. Now, the gospel, that's the message of Jesus. It's the good news that Jesus is king. His life and his death. His death puts sin to death forever. His resurrection brings life forever. Sin is forgiven. We can know God. We can be called his children. It's the best news ever. That's the gospel. And here in Colossae, they've heard it. And look what's happened. People are becoming Christian. People are putting their faith, people are putting their trust in Jesus. They are trusting Jesus to save them. They are trusting Jesus to bring them out of death and into eternal life. And now that they've got this new life in Christ, they're living their new life with a new love for each other. They're looking out for each other, caring for each other in brand new ways. I would imagine that they're doing things like reading God's word together, praying for each other, helping each other when they need it. They are being an encouragement and a joy to each other. Now that they're brothers and sisters in the family of Christ, they want to help each other follow Jesus. A new purpose in their lives together. On top of all that, their hope. All of this is because of their hope, the hope laid up for them in heaven. Which is not the kind of hope it doesn't rain tomorrow sort of hope, where you sort of, you know, you're hoping for something that may or may not happen. This is more like the hope you have when you've ordered something and you're waiting for the parcel to arrive. You know it's going to happen. It's an expectation. The Colossians are living in hope and anticipation of the riches of heaven through Christ Jesus, and that's having this profound impact on their lives right now. Are you seeing why Paul's excited? This is supernatural stuff. This is miraculous stuff. This is life-changing stuff that's happening here in the lives of the Colossians. Selfless lives of love. Confidence that comes from the peace of knowing your life is wrapped up in Jesus' victory over sin and death. As amazing as all this is, as excited as Paul is, he's just writing to normal, everyday Christians. I think Paul would say there's no such thing, though, as an ordinary, everyday Christian, because the life of the Christian is extraordinary. God has done extraordinary things in our lives. People brought from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus. And not just in Colossae. This is the reality we're living right now. We have heard the truth, haven't we? We've heard the gospel. We've heard the gospel and it's changed us. It has given us a new love for each other. It's given us a hope for eternity. whatever it is you're excited about this year. I don't know, maybe you're planning to buy a house this year, or you've just got a new car, or there's a long-waited-for holiday coming up, or a new job, or I don't know, maybe there's just a film coming out that you're excited about. Whatever you might be excited about, it's nothing compared to the excitement of people hearing the gospel and trusting in Jesus. People going from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of the risen Son. It's nothing compared to how extraordinary it is to see brothers and sisters in Christ selflessly serving and loving each other. It's nothing compared to how wonderful it is to have a hope laid up in heaven. Those are incredibly exciting things. And that excitement about gospel growth, well, for Paul, it just naturally leads to wanting to see more and more and more of it. Paul's excitement about what's happening in Colossae isn't limited to the gospel growth that has already happened. I mean, he's excited about that, but he's excited because it's still happening. There's more and more to come. Gospel growth is still going on. Take a look at what verse 6 says. Verse 6, he says to these Colossians, that the truth, this gospel, it's come to you, as indeed in the whole world it's bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. Paul's keen interest here is the gospel still bearing fruit. It's still growing. Just like it has been since the day they very first heard it, it's going to go on growing. All over the world, Paul says, and of course in Colossae. Of course it's happening here, isn't it? We know it is because we're here. Everywhere the truth about Jesus goes, people are being saved. People are trusting in Jesus for forgiveness and new life. People are being given a new love for each other, care for each other. People are living in sure hope of resurrection life. We know it's true because we've heard that gospel. It's changed us and saved us. People have come to know Jesus in Colossae in the year 60. People are still coming to know Jesus in Bathurst in the year 2022. God is still doing these extraordinary things. This is not just ancient history. The gospel is growing and bearing fruit all over the world today. Every year at the moment, there are comfortably more than 1 million new Christians around the world. People hearing about Jesus, just like these people in Colossae did from Epaphras. Paul mentions Epaphras there in verse 7. Epaphras lived in Colossae. We don't really know much about Epaphras, but it would seem that he probably heard about Jesus when he was over in another city in Ephesus, a couple of hundred kilometres away. Maybe he was there for work or a holiday or something, I don't really know. But he heard about Jesus in Ephesus, and then when he came back to Colossae, he told all his friends and his family about Jesus. And that's why there's now this church, a whole bunch of Christians here in Colossae. That's the kind of gospel growth Paul's excited about. That's the kind of gospel growth Paul's thankful for. This is the kind of gospel growth Paul is anticipating more of. Lives transformed in new places and in extraordinary ways by the news of Jesus. And so Paul, well, he just can't keep this to himself. He sits down to write this letter. He sits down here to communicate this feeling. He wants his readers to share this feeling of excitement. He wants us to share this feeling of thankfulness and excitement and anticipation of gospel growth. Let me humbly suggest three ways that we might be able to express our thankfulness and excitement and our anticipation. First up, let's thank God for gospel growth when we see it. God is still growing the gospel. Let's thank him for it when we see it. I am so thankful for the person who many years ago shared Jesus with a stranger at a bus stop. The effects of that conversation have lasted three generations, and there are people here at BPC living for Jesus because of it. I'm so thankful for the teenage girl who invited her friend along to youth group. because her friend is now here at BPC leading in our youth group and helping teenagers here get to know Jesus. I'm so thankful for the guy who saw his neighbour going through a hard time and reached out with words of comfort about Jesus. Because that neighbour is now one of our elders here helping us find comfort in Jesus. I'm so thankful for the people who patiently and persistently invited their friends to church, classmates who offered to read the Bible with someone, colleagues who talked openly about Jesus. These are the reasons we're here today. And not just here in the building, but here as saved sinners, children of God, redeemed into his kingdom. Because God graciously brought us to know and trust Christ. When we look around and see people trusting in Jesus, we are seeing something truly remarkable. We are seeing what God is doing in the world. When we look around and see people who love each other deeply and selflessly, when we see people who have a confident hope for the future, that is special. That's God growing the gospel. And it is all God. This is God's global disciple-making agenda playing out before our eyes. It's pretty special to see. Thank God for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank God when people discover Jesus. Thank God when lives are transformed for Jesus. And to encourage and affirm all of that, let's maybe be like Paul and communicate our thankfulness for gospel growth to each other. Second thing, let's ask God for more gospel growth. I mean, as we see here, this is what God's doing anyway. This is what God's doing anyway. So let's ask God to be doing it more and more. Let's ask God to be doing it here amongst us, in us, through us, in our city. Let's ask God to honour Jesus by bringing people into his kingdom. Let's make a point of praying this year that more and more people in Bathurst might come to know Jesus. Let's make a point of praying that more and more people in our circles might discover forgiveness from Christ. Look, when my kids want something, when they're excited about something, they are very, very forward in asking for it. They're never ashamed to ask for more of what they're excited for. Let's ask our Heavenly Father for more gospel growth. And third, let's be a church full of people, beloved fellow servants, like Epaphras. We have so many opportunities to make the most of our conversations with friends and family and colleagues, classmates, teammates. We have so many opportunities to talk with people about Jesus. Don't let it slip your mind. Don't let yourself get too busy to have those conversations. Don't lose the excitement of the way God is growing the gospel of Christ Jesus. By God's grace, the gospel's growing and bearing fruit all over the world. By God's grace, the gospel's growing and bearing fruit right here. That is nothing less than extraordinary what God's doing. We are very thankful for it. We're very excited for more of it. I'll pray. Father, thank you that Jesus is King. Thank you that sin has been dealt with by Christ on the cross. Thank you that forgiveness is free. Father, the gospel is wonderfully good news. So thank you that it is growing and bearing fruit. Thank you so much for the ways that the gospel has brought us to know you, the ways it has changed us to be more like Jesus. Father, we love more and more people to know Jesus. So thank you for gospel growth. Father, please help us to talk about Jesus with those who don't know him yet, because we would really love for Jesus to be honored as more and more people discover him and live for him. Amen.